It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and
All right, 10:05 on The Fan, and a very good Thursday morning to you. The midday show, Joe Benigno, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Short show for you today. We'll be here till noon, then we'll take you right out to the NCAA tournament. You'll get the Minnesota-Louisville game right away. 877-337-6666 is the phone number. The great Brian Riscona, the Renaissance man, and, of course, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. So it was so nice of St. John's to show up last night, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, really, I had to waste my time last night staying up to watch that nonsense last night. I mean, first of all, let's be honest about this. A couple things with St. John's. They, in a normal year, would have never got in the tournament. They were the last team in the tournament, and they basically showed you why. And I don't want anybody, bro, to tell me, I don't care how devout a St. John's guy you are, whether it's Minko, whether it's BT, whether it's Chris Mullen, don't tell me that this was a good year for St. John's, because to me, this is a major disappointment of a season.
I don't even think it's a debate.
No, it's not even a debate. Well, you and I, yeah, but it might be others that debate it. I don't know.
You're 100% right. And where they go from here, I have no idea. I'm not sure what their recruiting situation is. I know that Shamari Pond is thinking about jumping to the NBA.
Yep.
I know that, you know, Mustafa Heron may jump to the NBA, that Marvin Clark's not going to be around. So I don't know what their roster's going to look like. But when they start the season the way they did, and granted, they're not exactly playing anybody in their non-conference schedule.
No, you know? Well, that's why they started out 12-0.
Sure.
You know, Seton Hall's playing Kentucky and Maryland.
Yeah. Yeah, they beat Kentucky. They beat Maryland.
But I'm saying they're playing those kind of teams.
And they played Louisville. They didn't win that game, but they played Louisville.
Right.
They played Nebraska, even they lost to them.
Right.
St. John's was playing Sacred Heart and St. Francis and Wagner and Princeton and Maryland Eastern Shore and Rutgers and Bowling Green. But once this conference season started and they lost that brutal game to Seton Hall, you realize that the hottest streak they had was a pair of two-game winning streaks?
That's terrible.
That's it.
Yeah, that's bad.
And they had some good wins mixed in there, no doubt.
Marquette, Nova.
Villanova.
Right.
They beat Marquette on the road.
Twice.
They beat Marquette at home. But you're right. In any other bubble year, we're not even talking about them being in the tournament. They were the last team in. They play in this fake tournament game, which I get it for the 16 seeds.
Yeah.
It's big. It's exciting.
It is. For FDU, it's a big deal. For St. John's, it's not.
No, of course it's not. And so they lose. Not only do they lose this game to a very mediocre Arizona State team, let's call it like it is. They're not that good to begin with.
Well, that's why they're in that game, too.
Sure. There's a reason why they're there. But right out of the get-go, they're playing like garbage. Right out of the get-go, they can't hit a shot. I think 6 for their first 24.
Yep.
They're turning the ball over.
Yep.
They can't hit free throws when they get to the line. And sure, they made a run late. They cut it within 7. They actually had a couple of opportunities to cut it even further. But never for a second watching this last night. And I actually watched it.
They never had a lead. I don't even think they've had a lead in the game.
No, it was a wire-to-wire loss.
Yeah, right.
And it was weird. Last night at about 7 o'clock, I just passed out.
Yeah, you told me this. Game. And then you got up at 3 o'clock in the morning and watched it on tape?
Woke up and just watched it
on DVR.
Did you
know the final score at that point?
No.
Okay.
No, that's very difficult to watch a game if you know the result.
Well, it depends. Like, if it was like the Jets winning the Super Bowl, I'd watch it.
Well, that's different, yeah. I'd rewatch games like that.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, right.
But a game where I know the result and it's not that, I don't want to watch it again. But much like you watching it live, I knew the deal.
Yeah, you never thought they were winning again.
They weren't coming back.
You just didn't think. They were not playing well. Like you said, they didn't shoot the ball well. Pons had a pretty decent game, even, you know, 25 points, but he took a ton of shots to get there.
Yeah, he wasn't efficient, 20 shots.
Figueroa had a decent game. I mean, but they got nothing out of a lot of guys. I mean, Marvin Clark gave him nothing. What's his name? Simon. I mean, they got
Justin
nothing.
Simon.
They got nothing from these guys.
No, and they're obviously not a very deep team.
No.
They only go 7 deep, but they couldn't hit their free throws. They turned the ball over. They were a mess.
Yep.
They were a mess. And
I'll tell you this, too, and maybe you're going, what are you going to say? Because you're probably going to say what I'm going to say.
Well, I was going to get into the coach.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
And I think that when they hired Chris Mullin, it was very exciting because of his name recognition, the fact that, hey, maybe he can walk into these kids' homes and say, do you know who I am? Not just from his days at St. John's, but certainly from his days in the NBA.
Course.
And it would help him in recruiting. And he has brought in a lot of talent. But you are measured by wins and losses. You are measured by tournament success. No one is sitting here saying St. John's has to go to a Final Four. All right, we're not setting the bar that high. But you know what you want to see from St. John's? You want to see what Seton Hall's done the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Where even when it's disappointing, Joe, that they lose in the first round, they're there every
year. They're in, right.
And this is 1 year where they're in. It doesn't even feel like they were in because they played in this play-in game. Call it whatever you want to call it. It's a play-in game. And I don't know what happens from here. Shamari Pons may not be here next year. So I think this is a big crossroads for the head coach where we're going to find out, can this guy be a, not even big time, but solid NCAA head coach, because I'm not sure.
And I'll tell you, if his name wasn't Chris Mullin, you know, maybe he's on the hot seat right now. You know what I mean? Maybe he's not back next year.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No, you're right. And this goes back to something Jeff Goodman said to us a few days ago. Jeff Goodman was on. He's a great basketball expert. College, high school, NBA, knows it all. And he made an interesting point about Kevin Willard that a few years ago, before this Seton Hall run, and by the way, they played tonight in a real tournament game.
Yep.
You looked at Willard's resume and said, boy, what the hell's this guy done? Maybe they should get rid of him. But they stuck with him, and they've been rewarded. And that's why, even though I don't think Mullen's done a great job, and you're right that his name value helps him, I wouldn't get rid of him. I would not be firing him, even if his name was Joe Schmo, because I do think that you need to give a guy time. And I think Willard's a great example that look what time can do for you.
Yeah.
Because look what's happened to the Hall over the last 4 years. But you're right. I think he does get a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because of who he is.
Definitely. He definitely does. Now, it was a disappointing year for St. John's. I mean, there's no other way to say it. And, you know, well, that's it. I mean, there's nothing really left to say. I mean, we'll see what happens to them going forward. We'll see what kind of recruiting class Mullin has coming in. Apparently, one of his big assistant coaches, who's a big recruiter for him, and I forget his name, may wind up taking the Iowa State job if Fred Hoiberg leaves Iowa State to go to Nebraska, which I guess is the rumor, you know, to leave the Big 12 to go to the Big 10, then maybe this guy, again, I forget the name, you can check it out, looks like he would get the Iowa State job. So he also would lose one of his top assistants that's been a big recruiter for him as well, Mullin, so that would be another hit for St. John's.
Yeah, we'll have to ask Rothstein what his expectations are for St. John's next year and the year after.
Yeah, we'll have him on tomorrow, Rothstein, right?
But I think this was overall a very disappointing year.
Yep.
And the hope was, even though they had played mediocre basketball for the last 3 months, that maybe they could get hot at the right time. That's what this tournament has shown you over the years, that out of nowhere sometimes you see a team get hot. As far as today's concerned, there's a couple of games that jump out at me. Number one, I know we all have intrigue in seeing Fairleigh Dickinson to see if they could scare.
There is no money line on that game, huh?
I couldn't the point spread is so high that sometimes when a number is that high,
what
it's
22?
28.
Oh, I thought it was 20. Yeah, 28. Yeah.
It's at 28 that you can't get a money line on it. So at least where I looked, FanDuel Sportsbook app, a few other places, can't get a money line. So I think the interest in Fairleigh Dickinson is simply, hey, can they keep it interesting?
Right.
Can they keep it a game?
Right. Because they'll compete. Now, whether they can stay in the game for the entire game is another story, but they'll play a lot better than St. John's did yesterday, even if they get killed.
Yes.
I feel confident saying that.
But luckily for them, the bar's just a tad bit lower.
Yes.
But we obviously saw a year ago history made, which makes me think that we're less likely to see history made again.
I don't see that. And it'll be a while before it happens again.
The other game that jumps out at me is Marquette Murray State. Because of,
John Morant.
The high-octane offense of both teams, Marcus Howard as well. But yes, John Morant, really the first opportunity I have, maybe a lot of people have to check this
good
kid
start.
Out.
I think that game's 4:30, so that's a good starting time.
Exactly. It's a perfect start time at 4:30. So I think, A, the game will be entertaining. We'll see a lot of offense. And, B, we'll get to see John Morant. I mean, this is a guy who, I don't know, he could be on your team next year.
He could be.
Could be. At 2 or 3, who knows?
Right.
And for me, obviously, the main event is Seton Hall Wofford tonight at 9:40. All I've read about Joe over the last few days is how good Wofford is.
Yeah.
They haven't lost
the underdog.
Forever.
The Hall's the underdog in this game, too.
They are. I mean,
and a lower seed as well.
Not only is it the 7-10 game, but they're getting 2.5 points. Wofford hits threes as well as anybody. They were second in the nation. But I've also seen the Seton Hall. Obviously, I've seen a hell of a lot more than Seton Hall and Wofford. I haven't watched a second of Wofford. I've watched a bunch of full games of Seton Hall. I've seen Seton Hall, led by Quincy McKnight, defend big-time offensive players. So maybe this McGee and others can actually be slowed down by the Seton Hall defense in what would be a very exciting game if they can win, because it sets them up with a Kentucky rematch.
Yeah,
a team like you mentioned, they beat earlier this season.
I have the whole win in this game, but I don't have them beating Kentucky in the next round. I'll tell you another game that I'm very high on, which starts right around the time of Fairleigh Dickinson, and that's Villanova-St. Mary's.
Yes.
I mean, I'm very curious to see if Nova makes any kind of run at all. I really am curious to see that.
And say this about St. Mary's. They knocked off Gonzaga to win their conference tournament.
They did.
Which is pretty impressive. Obviously, Gonzaga's a number one seed in this tournament, but you're right. Villanova has not had a great year. It feels like they've had three seasons. They didn't have the greatest out of conference season. Then they got hot. Then they cooled off. And it's just weird to see Villanova as a sixth seed.
Yes.
We're used to seeing them as a one or two. And as John Rothstein calls them, a Fortune 500 company. That's what he calls Villanova. Well, this year they haven't exactly been a Fortune 500 company.
No.
But I'm intrigued by that game, too. You're right.
Yeah, and another game, which is the one right off the bat, is the Minnesota-Louisville game, only from the aspect that Richard Pitino, Rick Pitino's son, coaching against his father's old team.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, right. You think the committee knew what they were doing setting that thing
just
up.
Like Hurley against Buffalo.
Right. Exactly. That's right. Hurley's going against Buffalo now, who used to coach. You know what I heard, too? So Pitino, apparently, the father, Rick Pitino, I think he's coaching in Greece right now, is actually up for possibly to get in a UNLV job. Did you see that?
Interesting.
Which would be a good place for him to go.
Yeah.
Following the footsteps of Jerry Tarkanian.
Why not?
Why not?
Well, he does want to coach again. I think he was on with Mike not that long ago.
He's coaching
saying,
in Greece, obviously.
No, but I mean back. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
well, I'm sure. Of course he wants to come back.
I think he'd take an NBA job, too, if somebody gave him another shot.
I don't know if he's going there.
He can go, too.